From Studio 65, not far from the high-tension power lines that also cross the Stony Swamp Conservation Area, welcome to Season 5, Episode 14 of the Sense Call-Ups for Thursday, March 30th, 2017. I'm Cardinal, Pan is back in country, Canuck is even in town, so we're back to talk about Smash Fingers, the playoffs, and how mind-bogglingly stupid the rules and their enforcement are in the NHL. The Sens continue to push towards the playoffs, but we're seeing a slightly different look to the team these days with Mark Mathot on the shelf for several weeks, and tonight, Erik Karlsson also on the shelf. Boys, good to be back together again. Pan, Russell farted repeatedly in your chair, so it should be nice and warm for you.
I switch it with yours, and you figured as much.
Ah, that's what it is. Great. No problem. Victory is mine.
Welcome back to Canada, Pan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome back to the land of less ice and snow.
Is it, though?
No.
Because we're getting more tomorrow.
Yeah. It's ridiculous as to how I'm in Iceland.
Yes.
Iceland.
Yes.
Warmer than Ottawa.
It happens.
The whole time I was there.
Closer to the,
jet stream.
Well, no, I was actually going to say the Gulf flow.
Yeah, yeah.
So how was it?
Now.
Did you get to see the beautiful Northern Lights?
No.
What?
It was too cloudy.
Okay,
all week?
We missed it.
All week?
We missed it.
You can go to Northern Ontario and see them.
I know. Yeah, but that's far too.
especially with my buddy's dad's from Newfoundland, and I've traveled a lot throughout Canada.
Okay.
So with a lot of the things that they say, it's like, well, this is in Iceland, this is in Iceland, this is in Iceland. And it's like, seen it.
So why did you go to Iceland?
Well,
what do you mean you've seen it?
Because people have always told me it's like it looks totally different. A lot of it does. It's a great place, but it's like, well, you get to drive through the mountains. It's like, well, I did that through the Rockies. Noted, there aren't any trees.
No.
Yeah, it looks very barren.
So it's very, very different. Yeah. Well, it's tundra.
Yeah. Well, it's tundra and it's also volcanic.
And it's volcanic, which is neat.
Nothing grows there.
Yeah. And the geothermal, so like you're just driving it because the main roads, there aren't highways, but one of the roads going through the mountains is still snow everywhere. And you just see smoke or steam coming out from near the mountains.
Well, that's where the Bond villain lair is.
Yes.
Oh.
Or just where the geothermal pool is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like so the hot springs in BC.
Yeah. So just once in a while, and that's just going. Now, geysers, that I've never seen. It's pretty cool.
Did you see one?
Yep.
Awesome.
You see, that's something
they're up to see.
They've got some beautiful waterfalls. Again, it's like, well, I've seen Niagara Falls. There's another one that we missed. It was just too far out. I'll probably go back at some point. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just thinking of that. It's like, I've seen it in winter. It's very expensive there. But in summer, it's going to be a different environment.
Well, my brother went in the summer, and he actually was his family went, he and his wife and two kids, and they went in the summertime, and they said, if you get out of Reykjavik, it's actually reasonable, provided you spend some time organizing where you're staying and what it is you want to do. They did a lot of things by bicycle rather than by car,
yeah,
and they don't eat out a lot. So they actually were able to do it fairly recently. They were there for 2 weeks in July, I think it was. They loved it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's wonderful. That's the high season.
Oh, yeah. But like everywhere else.
And again, one thing that I posted on my personal Facebook was, it's a good thing that I hang out at NHL arenas, because looking at the prices versus my current lifestyle, there wasn't much of a difference.
Oh, because you're used to ridiculous prices for
ridiculous
things.
Prices everywhere.
Okay. I'm like, it took me a second to catch up on that one. I got it now.
Yeah. Now, I did do one thing that you can definitely never do here. It's a walk through a lava cave.
Okay. And what is that exactly?
Yeah, what do you
mean? So as lava flows through after the eruption, which was, they said, 1,000 years ago, but to go deal and you just took a penalty. So as the lava flows and it's starting to cool, but it cools from the top down. And so it just creates a tunnel as it's flowing.
Oh, as in the roof hardens, but the underneath roof keeps going.
That's right. Okay. And then it flows through, and then you get openings and whatnot.
Oh.
So that was really neat, and a lot of it's kind of geological. And
that'd be cool.
Really neat. Now, one trip that I think you would really like, because it was another excursion option that they had, was they drop you off around the same place as where we went, but then you go on a different path and you go on a snowmobile.
Right on. I like it already.
And you take the snowmobile to an ice cave.
Cool.
And then you go through the ice cave, obviously.
Right on.
Foot.
Sure.
You did this?
I didn't.
Okay.
Oh. No, this was just another option.
Okay.
But that...
the snowmobile
part. I heard about that. I'm like, yeah, Cardinal would love that.
Well, snowmobiles are fun, but I mean, I can ride them anytime. They are fun, though.
And so with that, like, Reykjavik looks very much like Newfoundland.
Have you been?
I don't think so, but my friend's dad was from there, and I've seen pictures. It really looks like it.
Okay.
Like, the colorful houses and all of that. Excuse me.
Cool. Yeah, have fun.
Yeah, so it's like everything that we have in Canada, but within a 3-hour radius of itself.
It's a very small Canada.
Mm-hmm. And I miss the Black Sand Beach, too.
You can get that.
Pretty freaking cool.
You can get that in Montserrat, if you go south.
Where's Montserrat?
Near Antigua.
Where's Antigua?
In the Windward Islands.
Where's the Windward Islands?
In the Caribbean.
Okay.
Okay, but that's not Canada, though.
No, Montserrat, Antigua has white sand beaches, but Montserrat, which is a very, very short, you can see it from Antigua, has black sand beaches. And the volcano there actually erupted about 20 years ago and wrecked sort of a third of the inhabited part of the town, including a very well-known recording studio where Rush had recorded a couple of albums, was wrecked by the eruption of the volcano, unfortunately.
Well, that concludes our travel.
There we podcast. Go. Yeah.
Like, this is pretty cool. Like, I didn't go there. I really wanted to, but we ran out of time. There's a friend of mine.
Audio podcast. Cardinal.
This is at Black Sand. I think it's close to Black Sand Beach.
But that's ocean ice?
And that's either ocean ice or ice. Yeah, that would be ocean ice.
Cool.
Cardinal glances at the photo.
This is a friend of mine.
He looks surprised.
And the...
Connect looks at the photo.
She's pretty tiny. But there's just like, it looks like really...
Photo of a woman in front of ice.
I guess melted down ice cubes, but it goes up to her waist.
It's very clear ice, though. It almost looks more like...
I don't know if it's glacial.
It looks almost more like crystal, or quartz. Yeah. It almost looks like shards of quartz, these, and they're very large shards of quartz. Yeah. But anyway, looks good.
But yeah, no, I definitely recommend it. It is super cheap to get there.
And you're both staying in town, right? We'll get to that later, but you just got back into town. You just got back into town, and now you're both leaving again.
That's fine. Still for the weekend.
But we'll get to that part later. Canuck, you're well? You're in town?
I am.
Excellent.
Been all week.
That's a record.
I know.
You have to buy groceries at this rate. What are you doing?
Laundry, groceries, family, it's all good.
Commitments, they're terrible. Yes. All right, before we get going, quick housekeeping blurb, the usual. The email address, which I forgot to do in our last episode. I never said it once. The email address is podcast@sendscallops.com. The sendscallops.com also has all the forums with game threads. And I just realized I forgot to put in my game prediction for tonight. I meant to do that when I got here. Damn.
3-1 stone.
Well, that's the usual one. Yeah. Which, thank you, CB Inc., for making note of that when I keep forgetting to put something in. The waiver wire is 1-844-SCU-6565. And you can find the podcast. Obviously, you found it already, but you can find it on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher. You can stream it from our website. If you do get it from iTunes or from TunedIn or Stitcher or somewhere like that, please post a review. Take 30 seconds and give us a review. It would be appreciated.
Even if you don't post a review, 5 stars.
Yeah, sure. Don't post a review, but just give us 5 stars. That's a fair compromise. That'll take, 10, 12 seconds to do? Perfect. Mm-hmm. All right. We have games to talk about. Let's go.
Game on!
Game 71 is the first game we get to talk about. Game 71, the Sens were at the Habs for the third in 8 nights game.
Didn't happen.
It did happen.
Oh, God.
It did happen. And you know what?
I was up from 11:30 at night watching this thing, Reykjavik time.
And I just...
No refunds.
Waste. No refunds.
No refunds. The Sens weren't really in this game at all. It was a third game in four nights, the second of a back-to-back. We were recording with Russell during this game, and it was a 4-1 loss. Moving on. I don't really think there's anything else to talk about for that game.
Well,
there's nothing...
Not specifically.
No. There just wasn't much to talk about. It wasn't a good game.
It was a total fail.
Yeah. It wasn't a good game. The hardest working senator in the game was... no, actually, they picked Zach Smith, because Zach Smith actually did have a pretty decent game.
All right.
The problem was that was the only person they could think of that did.
Yeah.
So Gordon Dean picked him.
Yeah.
Didn't get a game star, but yeah. There you go.
Let's hold that thought.
Yeah. Next game was game 72. Game 72, the Sens were in Boston, were they not? Yes, they were in Boston. And it was a 3-2 win. This was the game that I was actually out. Ivan White, longtime listener of Sens Underground and this podcast, was in town.
Sorry, I missed him.
Ivan, good to see you again, even if you forgot to bring us something. Again, just a private joke. Shredder and Russell showed up. So we sat and had some very, very mild, what the bar called, suicide wings and some pints and watched the game. It was a good time. Had a lot of fun. Good to see him. I hadn't seen Shredder in 2 years, I don't think. I see Russell every week, so big deal. As he puts it. But it was actually a very entertaining game to watch. Yeah, there you go. There's a picture that I sent... Again, audio podcast. It was a picture of Shredder, Russell, and Ivan giving the finger to me taking the picture, which I then texted to Hannah and Canuck because they weren't there.
Should have sent it to Crosby.
But this game
that'll
overall...
be the majority of the show, I think.
This game overall was a very solid game. They played very well against a good team. And
that's me.
Sorry. Okay, thank you. And that's all really... I didn't have a whole lot of notes because I was too busy eating suicide wings that were, at best, medium. Like, they were hot wings, which I was dipping into suicide sauce, and I was actually dipping them and then dipping them again, trying to make them hot. And they weren't. Mm. I was a bit disappointed, to be completely honest. But, whatever. The beer was pretty reasonable. Anything you wanted to add about that game?
No, that was the second win in regulation in the past... 10 games?
No.
Or 8 games?
No, because the team has a winning record in March.
Again, yeah, second regulation win.
Regulation.
In the past 10 games.
I don't know.
No, it's not that many. I think it's more like about 6, because they've had...
They just said it on the TV.
There was a couple other games after this. So.
Hmm. Anyway.
Oh.
Yes,
next after game. This, yes. Next game, game 73. Nothing happened in this game. It was a boring, nothing was interesting. It was a complete, it was a Penguins, playing the Penguins, and it was a 2-1 shootout win. It was a tight game. To be completely honest, it was a tight game. Pittsburgh scored, and then Crosby shattered Mathot's finger with a two-handed slash. While Mathot was the puck carrier, and not a single member of the officiating crew of 4 saw it.
Didn't happen.
Sidney Crosby, who has a ref watching him all the time, because they're always watching for infractions against him, slashes the puck carrier. The guy with the puck didn't see it.
Yeah.
That's just what I wanted to go back on. It's Crosby, and it's the puck carrier. No, we didn't see the slash.
But Crosby gets slashed like that all the time, right?
He gets slashed. He doesn't get his finger shattered.
His finger doesn't explode. Nor does he have broken fingers or a broken hand. I don't think he's ever missed time with that.
Mm.
Remember a few years ago when the Flyers played the Penguins in the playoffs? And after that series, Claude Giroux had to get surgery on both of his wrists because every face-off, Crosby would slash him?
Yeah. No, but he's Crosby.
This is why I've always preferred Ovechkin.
This is why I don't like Sidney Crosby.
I can't stand Sidney.
He's a talented hockey player, but I've never liked him.
He's an ass. He's an ass.
He's talented.
On the ice. Again, when you're playing against him.
And he's very, very boring and dull off.
Well, he's kind about this time and stuff. And
as long as you pay him for his attendance fee.
What are you referring to?
For what? For the commercials that he does?
No, I've heard enough nice stories about, especially in the Halifax area.
Yeah, of course.
But again, it's like Brad Marchand. You know, he's great off the ice, but on the ice?
Weasel. But don't call him a weasel. He's a superstar.
To be honest, if I just take what happened on the ice at face value before, like right up to the point where the contact was made by Crosby, I have to agree that play happens all the time around the league, and it didn't really look like much. And it didn't help the fact that I don't even think it registered on Mathot what was going on yet, because he turned around and started talking to him. It's like, you know, it looked like he's going complaining about the slash. Then as soon as he took the glove off, you realize, oh crap, you know, this is serious. It goes back to my grinds, my gears last show, is if he had hit the stick and the stick fell out, that would be the black and white call. However, he hits the glove.
No call.
And you don't know how hard he hit it or not. Now, we actually know after the fact it must have been pretty damn hard. You got him right in the right spot.
But if it's an action.
That's subjective.
If a high stick draws blood, it's 4 minutes. Now, this is a bloody hand from a two-handed slash. No call. That's my question.
I don't even care about the penalty. I just care about the fact that Mark Mathot's out for
weeks. I do, but there's absolutely no penalty. There's no downside to doing this.
And what's going on with the gloves of people? Like
the gloves are terrible.
Well, they like them to be really light, but there's absolutely no protection in them anymore.
Well, but let's go back to armor gloves now.
Well, they have Kevlar in their elbow pads and shoulder pads. Why don't they have a ridge of Kevlar going down? Like, you can even articulate the ridge of Kevlar if you want. But why don't they have a ridge of Kevlar on the outside of the fingers of a glove?
Melnick's probably going to be all over that next year.
I don't know.
I don't understand why they don't. I mean,
because if you punch someone with the Kevlar, that's probably
got Kevlar socks now.
Well, then make it a penalty. Punching somebody with a glove on is a 5 minute intent to injure or something.
Tell the auto police that.
Yeah, let's not get into that. But I mean, if it's a pencil sized piece of Kevlar down the middle of your glove. Even if it catches you on the side, it's going to catch part of the Kevlar and part of your finger.
I don't know why it's not like steel-toed boots.
That would, because they would get very heavy. I've always wondered why they don't make steel-fingered gloves.
Or just a hard plastic then.
Well, Kevlar's lighter and it's stronger.
Sure, but like just put a thin piece of plastic in the middle of the glove. So you have finger padding, plastic padding. Shell.
Or how about just taking slashing out of the goddamn game?
The penalties. When I was going to say
slashing on the hands should be the same as. I mean, maybe Mark Mathot should have dropped his stick. That's what he should have done there. If he had dropped his stick, then he would have at least got a 2 minute. Oh look, but. So the long and the short of this is, Mark Mathot is out for weeks. We don't even know how many weeks, and that's as bad.
They might have to sever it off too.
And if it does, it'll take him a year to get his... I have a coworker who lost the end of her finger, and she's now had two operations because the bone started to grow out again.
Ugh.
So she had to have it scraped down. And it's actually not as bad as you think. I know people are probably a little queasy about this. No, it's actually better now that it's been done. It was hurting more with the bone starting to regenerate and come and pushing against the skin on the end of her finger. That was hurting more than the operation to cut her finger open and grind it down. She says it's way more comfortable now.
Now, what we saw, was that just his fingernail that popped up?
No.
No, I think it was actually the end of his finger was...
open like an egg.
Yeah, but the end of his finger, I believe it's just sort of... I know, again, audio podcast, but you guys can see it. I think it's basically the bone in this amount of the finger is the part that's shattered or broken or splintered or whatever word you want to use. So it was kind of hanging loose because there's no bone left in that part of your finger. I mean, you have a fingernail.
He's going to come back in some sort of like makeshift cast and
be ineffective because he
can't use his hand to the stick or something like that. Yeah, he
does. He barely uses his stick anyways.
Well, no, but he uses his hands to hold a stick when he's clearing people from the front of the net. And he uses his butt for
everything else.
Actually, that was the supposition that the reason that Crosby was slashing him a thought was payback for the... hip check that injured him.
Like that. The clean hit that Crosby took?
No, well, that Crosby took that hit.
Where Crosby went flying into Dupree?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Mark Mathot's fault.
Yeah, because it's a clean hip check, but he didn't like it because he's Sidney Crosby, and, you know, so this is payback. All right, well.
Yeah. But Melnick's not allowed to talk.
No.
Well, Melnick went off.
I don't have a problem with Melnick doing that at all.
Well, Melnick always goes off.
I'm fine with it.
It is what it is with him. But... what I didn't like about the whole situation was Crosby crying again that he gets slashed like that all the time.
And his coach did.
And zero remorse.
His coach did too.
I don't know if his coach did.
It was his coach.
And then he had to get his agent involved over Melnick. It was like, Jesus.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Back to the game.
That's why I like Ovechkin.
back to the game. Hoffman.
He sneaks in behind reporters and does a little
the bunny ears.
Bunny ears. Like,
that was hilarious. That was a great photo ball. He's got character, that one.
Yeah.
Even if he does attack Jean-Gabriel Peugeot because Peugeot was annoying him. That was still.
But again, he does it honestly.
Oh, yeah. Well.
He does it honestly.
Sort of. More honestly.
And he really did just kind of grab him and pull him down.
Yeah, but. And he got penalized for it.
Frustrated. Yeah.
And he got penalized for it, at least. Going back to the game, Hoffman scored on the power play in the third to tie the game. And that meant that the Ottawa power play is now 6 for 12 against Pittsburgh this season. 6 for 12. Our power play is 6 for 12 against the Pittsburgh Penguins this season. Condon made several unreal saves on Crosby and others late in the third. Some unbelievably good saves. And some incredible saves in overtime. And then Turris and Bobby Ryan scored in the shootout. Crosby didn't. We win 2-1. The end.
Yep.
Everything all right?
My computer just screwed up.
Oh,
you're banging over there.
Reload.
We can keep going?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I thought you meant reload as in somebody had scored.
No, my computer is reloading.
Woo. Sorry. Actually, I was wrong. The game that we started off with, Game 71, that was the first of the two games in Montreal, not the second of two games.
No, it was the second.
Nope, it was the first.
Oh, in Montreal. Okay,
in Montreal.
Yes. Yeah.
The next game is Game 74, which was the second of two games in Montreal, second of three games against Montreal in 8 days. This was a 3-1 loss. It was the first game without Mark Methot. It was a very slow start. And the thing that I noticed watching this game, because I was actually able to watch this game start to finish, even on tape delay, but it was still start to finish, was that the Senators' game plan or style of play is to own the neutral zone. Clog it up, break things up, force players over to the left side, smash them up with Boro or Phaneuf, whatever. And they couldn't do it. It wasn't working. Montreal has figured out at least a partial antidote, there's a good word, to the hashtag the system. And they were running all over Ottawa. Ottawa played reasonably well other than that, but they were all over them. And it was fortunately only 1-0 after the first period on a power play goal that shot from the point by Weber.
I'm going to come out and say that I'm thoroughly disappointed by the games against Montreal. I know anytime you go into a game, you can lose them. That happens. We played the back-to-back the Sunday before. I actually did not get to see either of these games live. The second one we recorded through. And I was a little, at the time, I was a little disappointed. Those were the most important games. That was the battle for first. And we lost them both. Then we got to this last game against the Canadiens. And it was a chance to kind of crawl right back in there and be in the leadership conversation. And we couldn't do it. And we had other games during the season. I think it's about 6 times we had a chance to stamp our foot on the Montreal Canadiens, either in the standings or directly, and we couldn't. Mm-hmm. And watching that, it's like Ottawa does not deserve first place. And the way they're playing lately, I think they're going for a first-round exit unless something changes.
Well, we can get to that after we talked about the games, but I have a couple of thoughts on that. The Montreal games, we lost them. Montreal seems to be our.
We don't deserve to beat Montreal. We deserve to lose every friggin' one of those games.
But we did not.
They did not play well in these three.
In the last three, they played very well in the first two because we beat Montreal.
If you go back
in
November, and that matters right now.
Right.
It did. We wouldn't be where we are if we hadn't won the games in November, would we?
It's not going to get you very far in the next couple of weeks. So that's the thing. It's all about momentum.
You had a chance to make a statement. You had a chance to put the foot down. And you missed it. And not only just those three games against Montreal, you had other chances too when Montreal was flailing in the standings a little bit and you could have leapfrogged them.
But we didn't. So what? Do we want to finish first?
You just had a chance to say to the league.
First?
You said that you want as many wins as possible.
You do? But do you, I mean, if we finish second rather than first, so what?
I didn't. But that doesn't mean that you can shit the bed like they have been.
So are you suggesting they're throwing them?
No, I'm just saying I don't care. I'm just saying the team doesn't go 82-0. They lose against Montreal. It's unfortunate. I don't care.
I care about the streak they're on right now. They're in a bad funk right now.
And
they're losing games which, you know, people are tuning in. Oh my gosh, Ottawa, they're coming in. Look, they're They're gonna beat Montreal. They're gonna take over the standings, and then they shit the bed like that.
So what?
Well,
I don't care.
That's how fans jump.
No, I don't care about the fans.
If they want to jump,
this is all right at this point. It's all about results.
If Ottawa fans want to jump to Montreal because Montreal's winning, goodbye. Don't care.
No, I don't mean the Sens fans jumping. This is how people that they're coming on and okay. It's in, the bandwagon
in the games,
and stuff.
In the games, and I know we're not done yet. But in the five games that we're summarizing, they've scored 7 goals.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. And how many injuries to key players have happened in those games? Stone was out for the first 4 of them. Key player. Turris coming back from an injury. Key player. Carlson.
When was Turris hurt?
He was hurt a while ago, but he's still not playing at 100%. Pretty much everybody says that and agrees with it. He's playing well, but he's still not at 100%.
I think everybody's hurt.
Yeah.
Now.
So...
are we alone in that?
No, we're not alone
in it. Well, Colin White will fix it according to some. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, okay, so the team is streaky. Okay. Are they going to miss the playoffs? I don't think so.
They're not going to miss it, but they're streaking in the wrong direction at the wrong time, and they got 2 weeks to figure it out.
And if they don't?
Then they're going to be out.
Yep. They're going to be out.
So?
Well, what the heck?
I honestly, it's just not that big a deal. If the team is getting hurt and they end up being a first-round playoff miss, we're happy that they made it into the playoffs to begin with, but they weren't expected to. So,
did you want something else?
No, it's just not sitting properly with me, thanks. This evening is brought to us by Ricker's Rattler, and it's just not sitting properly with me. I don't know why.
There's been a narrative change from the coach, too. Where Ottawa was surging, and unfortunately it looks like they peaked their season about 2 weeks ago. And they absolutely were on pace to take over first place. Now, I agree with you, first place doesn't matter. What matters is what happens in the playoffs. So the point is they were on a pace, they're doing very well, and all of a sudden they're not doing very well right now. They're lucky to pick up the points they have. And they got, like I said, they got 2 weeks to figure this out. But even the coach now is saying, look, our only goal here is we wanted to make the playoffs. And he's not saying that like, you know, look, we just want to get in, you know, we want to be ready. He's saying, no, it's kind of like we just want to get in. And that's our goal for the year.
Well,
there was a goal for the year. It was a goal.
At the beginning. But now you need to start. You made it.
You need to believe in yourself. Now you need to
tighten it up.
Well, the other thing is they also were playing the strength of schedule from the late February, early March to now is really different. The 6-game winning streak was against teams that were not of the same caliber. And Ottawa's not winning all the games they should. But if they're losing to Montreal and winning against Boston and Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah!
Boston!
If they're losing to Montreal and beating Pittsburgh and Boston, I'm okay with it. I really am okay with it. Should they have beaten Philadelphia the other night? Yeah, they should have. They really should have. And that one was the one that I went,
I'm not okay to them losing to Montreal 3 games in a row.
Okay, but if it wasn't Montreal, if they lost to Boston 3 times in a row, if they lost to Toronto 3 times in a row, what's the difference? They're all divisional games.
Because they're going to have to play out of their division, and this is all mind games going into it. They have played terrible against Toronto.
What? No,
we have a winning record against Toronto.
3-1.
We have never stomped on their feet. We've barely squeaked out wins.
We've
won. Doesn't matter.
We've won. Isn't that what's important?
Only in the playoffs.
We've won this year. We won the season series. No, I guess we didn't win last year.
But losing against Montreal doesn't matter.
Losing against Montreal doesn't matter any more than losing against any other team.
I think Colonel just got caught in a little bit stuck there, but that's
no.
I know what you're saying. You look at the record, okay, we're doing good. You look at it, these games don't matter. But what matters is what is happening going into these playoffs. And right now, there's a problem.
It's the same problem that's been going on all year. The team struggles to score goals. The power plays the power play is getting better. The problem is the PK is getting worse. And if there's one thing that.
What's Nashville got to do with this?
Enough.
Oh, penalty kill.
That's my biggest concern. It's not losing to Montreal. It's the fact that our penalty kill since the beginning of February, the second week of February, is 30th in the league. That's the concern.
Penalty kill?
Yes.
Wow. 30th. I didn't know it was that bad.
30th. So losing to Montreal, I don't care. Losing to whoever, doesn't matter, because we win games and we lose them.
So all of you listeners who have coworkers who are Habs fans, tell me if you cared going back to work after those three games.
I have Habs fans, I have Leafs fans, and I have Boston fans who are coworkers. You know what? By the way, I won a bet against a Leafer recently, so it's all good.
Right. We'll just wait for them to beat us in the first round then.
Yep. And we'll all be happy. I won't be.
Do you think Ottawa's going to lose to Toronto in the first round of the
No.
Why?
Well, they just need to, these guys need to get
because scoring. Toronto is mind raped the Senators.
No, it doesn't matter.
There's nobody left from that era.
Again, I watched all the games this year and maybe we squeaked out some wins, but I watched the games and holy crap, this team has a mind.
How many wins
in a series
this team,
we've got them?
How many wins has this team squeaked out when we've, how many wins has this team squeaked out? A lot more than we've lost. A lot more than we've lost. That's the bottom line for this whole season. Doesn't matter who you're playing. It's we've won more than we've lost.
I'm just telling you. I think asked me 3 weeks ago. I was feeling pretty good about the team, and you asked me now. I'm not feeling pretty good right now.
I'm not feeling very good right now. But that's
I'm not worried
it's
about
not
Toronto.
About who the opponent is. It's about how the team is playing.
Yeah, I agree. If our penalty kill continues to play the way we are now, that's what worries me, not who the opponent is.
And you need to score more.
I agree. And I'm with that. Absolutely. That's why I'm saying I think we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I don't think we're in trouble.
I think we're in a bit of trouble right now. You go into the playoffs like this, it's not great. It's not looking good.
We got
you got to score.
2 weeks.
You got to score.
You got to score. I agree.
You got to score.
But more.
That's really it.
You got to score, but you also got to work on the penalty kill, which has suddenly been sliding for 2 months. That's a bigger worry for me because we're used to winning games 2-1.
Defense fatigue, probably.
Well, or injury because we've had a lot of injury coming in and out. But we're used to winning games 2-1. So, yeah, we need to score because we need to score because we're giving up more goals than we used to. Fix the penalty kill. Fix a lot of these problems about we need to score more goals. We can continue scoring on the pace we're scoring now and win games because that's what we've done all season. Because defense wins championships, not scoring.
Yep.
Toronto scores a lot of goals. They're can't
not very
defend.
Yeah.
They cannot defend. They win 7-6, not 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep. Yeah, I agree with that.
Again, my prediction if we face Toronto, if it was tomorrow, is that the Sens would lose. Right, and then Toronto will go to round two and get slaughtered.
No.
Toronto has a momentum shift if it started today.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
We'll
still
see
have 2 weeks. We still have 2 weeks, but they got to get it together. And granted, tonight, everybody's hurt. Everybody's hurt.
Absolutely. Everybody's hurt on this team.
And I'm pretty damn sure something's going to happen in Winnipeg. I don't know what it is, but I got to... Bad feeling.
Mark Stone hasn't gotten out of there in 2 years.
Right.
Last Truba. Year concussed.
Oh, Bufflin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he should have a game off. Anyway.
Oh, and someone's not getting up.
Defenseman of that.
Fenough.
I'll rub some dirt on it. He's good at it. Next. Colin White signs an ATO with Bingo. We'll talk about him in a minute. Did you want to talk about Game 75, which was the Flyers 3-2 shootout loss?
Bad game.
Bad game.
Anderson won it for them and lost it for them.
Well,
but Moore won it for them.
I was going to say, he got them a point.
It would have been like 5-2 otherwise.
There was a beautiful setup by CeCe Tourist for the second goal. Credit where credit's due
what
on that
patience.
One.
Finally, like what I... Well, and I was...
That's what he looked like
with,
in junior, folks.
That's what, that's what he looked like in junior. Jamie McLennan.
CeCe's got hands, unlike Mathot right now.
No. Oh, boy.
Let me just give him the finger.
Just the tip, really.
Oh, you nailed it. Nice one.
All right. I'll go.
But no, I did message Jamie McLennan just saying, it's like, am I just getting skewed on CeCe? Is he not playing well? And Jimmy McLennan told me back, and he mentioned it on the broadcast too. It's he's trying to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to settle down. And on that assist, which was a beauty assist, I was expecting him to just have the puck that close to the net, panic and shoot it.
And he didn't.
And he didn't. And he dangled around the two guys, took his time. Turris was calling for it, and it was a beautiful play.
Yeah. That's what I'm used to seeing him do in juniors.
So. That can hopefully get it because his confidence is probably a little bit.
And I
want to
apologize
right anyway.
For the game tying goal, which put it into overtime in the shootout. I accidentally turned on goalie mode and I did not know how to control the goalie and I accidentally passed it right to the guy.
There were a lot of people on Twitter dumping on, and actually on the post game show on the radio, dumping on Anderson for that. And my reaction
was, my bad.
My reaction to that was actually even simpler than that. It was, everybody makes mistakes that cost a goal from time to time.
Ask Chris Phillips.
Ask Erik Karlsson in the the Montreal game where he passed it out to the slot, expecting Mathot to be there to clear it away. It was the game before, I think it was. That he basically set it up and it was just put it up on a tee for a guy right in front of our own net.
Again, the problem is that people like myself are getting frustrated with the play of late. It's taken a negative turn. It's in a negative direction right now. So, yeah, they do get a little touchy. They shouldn't need to on little things like that. But they're just looking for something to complain
about.
But they've been doing that all year.
Well, some have.
It's everything. That's how people act on everything.
Yes, everybody's negative about things, not positive. No,
it's human nature, though.
No, it's not human nature.
It's human nature.
It's some people's view of the world. The humans are not, by nature, negative. There are a lot of people who view the world through a negative lens because that's what they like.
It's human nature.
No. It's the character of certain people.
Saying no being negative.
It's the character of certain people. And it was actually something that would ground my gears about 2 years ago.
It's probably the negative.
Because
it's the majority, I would say.
It doesn't make it human nature. It's cultural.
I think it's human nature for people to say more negative things than positive things when you're looking for feedback. Whether it's you're looking at reviews of a restaurant or a hotel, or if you're calling a call-in show for a hockey team, you're going to get more negative calls.
You get 10 complaints for each compliment.
That's cultural. That's North American culture. That's North American culture. People love to complain.
I don't think it's just North America. I think it's Western. Europe.
It's, but 100 years ago, it wasn't that way.
Online forums.
Thank God. And we can shut a lot of that stuff down. And
instead it was like, worse. She's a witch! Burn him! Yeah, burn her!
Hey, if you're that negative and complain that much online, you might as well become the president of the United States of America.
Worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, he found a lot of people who agree with him. That's the scary part. But I'm moving on from that.
Not the majority, though. Just saying.
Depends on how you count chickens.
Yeah, yeah.
Because stats can be skewed to do everything.
You count them before
going back. Going back to the Anderson gaffe in Philly, I think it was more of the timing of that because there's only like 5 minutes left.
Yeah,
and you knew that he was going to own it,
and he did.
And he did.
Hold on,
but nobody else showed up.
Right,
that was a bad game.
And he had the minute up to that point.
It was bad.
I'm telling you, every game I'm sitting down to watch, and I mean like actually having devoted time, I'm watching, I'm like, this is crap.
Yeah, I don't know what they need to do. Fix the penalty
kill. Good start. Even the 5-on-5 is crap.
The 5-on-5 was garbage.
But it's all...
And Philly is not a playoff team.
No.
Right. But no, but now they're playing spoiler.
But we were also... Yeah, they're playing spoiler, which the Ottawa Senators are used to doing, so everybody's loose and easygoing. But it's also, in Philadelphia, we're missing one of our top pairing defensemen. And this is something, we'll get to the game that's going on tonight. I had a thought about this. I mean, we're missing Mark Mathot, and I think we're honestly noticing, because Mark Mathot is a player that we kind of take for granted a little bit, because he does a lot of things that you don't necessarily notice. They're not flashy, they're not big and impressive, but he's very good at what he does, which is being a top pairing defenseman with Erik Karlsson. That's what he does, and he's very, very good at it. And now that he's not there, it's becoming much more evident. So my question is:
is this a preview next year?
Two games.
You hit it on the head.
It was on the radio today. Are we getting a look at what it's going to be like next year?
If we don't protect him in the expansion draft, exactly.
And this is where you have to kind of go back to Phaneuf and his agent one more time. Listen to me here, sir.
You're not going to get paid.
Yeah, you know you're not going anywhere.
Well. You can't guarantee anything, but chances are you're not.
Yeah.
Can you waive it? Because this is what's going to happen to the team.
Yeah.
The feeling is that
was on the radio today?
The
feeling is, and because I've been talking to people, Phaneuf won't waive because he wants to win now. He needs to win.
But why would that?
Because it guarantees that he would stay.
on a team that may be. It's an act.
He likes the direction of the organization,
but it's an action that isn't instrumental in aiding that goal.
He's got the right to do what he wants.
He does, and he's earned it.
So I agree.
If selfishly he wants to guarantee that he stays in,
Well, it's not selfishly.
No, it's selfishly. If he decides that he wants to guarantee to stay in Ottawa, he will not waive.
But
I also asked, Vegas is not far from LA.
I know. Would LA
be better for Alicia Cuthbert? Her show is recording in Calgary.
Hmm.
So no. Or she's fine where she is.
Well, yeah, Calgary to Ottawa is a fairly easy commute. Fairly easy. I didn't say it was a direct flight. There's one a day.
There is a direct flight.
There is a direct flight.
But it's still like 4.5 hours.
Still.
Better than Ottawa, LA.
Vegas, Calgary's got to be one weird connection probably.
No. A couple hours.
But still, so it's about the same. So that may or may not be an option. Best case scenario, he does waive. He doesn't get selected. Excuse me, which I really don't think that he will.
I can't imagine he would.
No.
They're not looking for no offense to Dion Phaneuf. They're not the team.
It's just term. Makes no sense.
Term.
And age.
And cap hit.
Now.
I mean, they may be looking for expensive players, but not with that length of time.
Yeah.
And if you're building a team, do you really want to build a team with, how old is he, 31?
Something like that.
That's a little old to be building a team with because
he needs some veterans on that, but I don't think he needs that kind of contract.
I was going to say, you don't get a 7-year guy for a veteran. You get an expiring contract guy as
well. Right.
They want a veteran who's Eric Carlson to 29, like 26 to 29. That's the age of veteran you want.
Or you pick one or two that's expiring.
Or even if you don't, there's free agency coming.
Yeah.
So you build the team that you want and then pick up a veteran or two off free agency who are 28 or 29.
Yeah. And or a guy like Mark Methot.
Yeah, exactly. All the more reason to say, no, we'd like to keep him.
Yeah.
If he doesn't waive, I almost wonder if Doran will go with the 8 skaters as opposed to 3D.
Yeah, if he does that, then we'll probably lose Jean-Gabriel Pageau.
Yes. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Now, or does Ottawa just sign another free agent like Johnny Oduya?
We never get big names like that.
He's not really a big name anymore. He's slagging downwards.
The reason I want to keep Mathot is because he plays so well with
Carlson. So well.
They're used to playing together, and no offense to Freddie Claesson, I like him. He's not ready for that role yet because so few people in the NHL.
He never will be.
So few people in the NHL are. I'd be really happy if Andreas Englund could do it in a couple of years, but there's no way he's ready for it yet either.
I don't think that he's not for top.
Not yet. He's still quite young. But there's certainly the possibility.
I don't think he's got the pedigree either.
On Scott.
But
there he is. Sorry, we're just watching
Jonathan Petrie thing.
Yeah. Who's that? Osbrandt Wallace, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Right. So the game tonight that's going on as we're recording this is the Sens are in Minnesota, and the team originally they were talking about it on the pregame show as I was driving out here tonight, and originally it was just supposed to be Kyle Turris and possibly a couple of other players who know Jonathan Petra quite well. For those listeners who don't know who Jonathan Petra is, look up on TSN.ca the documentary by James Duthie about the Butterfly Child. He's 16. He's from Ottawa. He has a very rare blistering skin disease, and he's been very popular. He's a well-known, I don't know what word to use. He's not a celebrity, but he's well-known around Ottawa for being...
Personality, I guess.
But he's also been out to the World Youth Day and Wee Day or whatever they call it. He's quite inspirational because it's a very painful condition. It's a very difficult condition to deal with, but he's incredibly positive about it.
Very positive.
And he's been talking to people about it for years. He was actually on the pregame show a couple of years ago. Remember when the team made him an assistant GM for a day?
Yep.
He was on the pregame show, and
he's
very well spoken. At the time, he was 14,
mm-hmm.
and he was ripping into Simmer, and it was hilarious because Simmer was like, You could tell he was sort of going, I can't respond the way I normally do because this is a 14-year-old kid. I can't rip back at him.
Right.
But it was brilliant. Like, he's very bright. He's very positive. And he was down in Minnesota November-ish? October, November-ish?
He's gone through his second
Second stem cell transplant that's going to be tried. Yeah.
Yep.
Which is a very difficult process.
And after the first one, he had to have chemo.
Before? Chemotherapy beforehand is what kills your immune system.
Yeah.
So that your body will accept the stem cells.
Okay.
And what happened was his body rejected them. Mm-hmm. So he's going in for a second try at this, and you're only allowed two, by the way. It's actually difficult to do a second one in somebody with him, because his immune system is already compromised.
Yeah.
It's risky to do a second time, but they're going to do it. So when his mother organized the timing for this second attempt, they went to Minnesota and she pushed the date for the start of the chemotherapy to tomorrow so that he could be at the game tonight. And there had been talk back and forth that he's very close with Kyle Turris. They email or text pretty much every day. And originally the plan was Kyle Turris and possibly Mark Borowiecki and somebody else whose name they said on the radio, but I don't remember, were just going to drop by. And he didn't know that they were coming. He knew he had somebody coming to visit, but he didn't know it was the Senators, and he certainly didn't know it was going to be all of them. Neither did his mom until only about a day or so ago, 2 days ago. And they got off the plane, got on the bus, and every single one of them went to the apartment where he's staying and just showed up. And the interviews were amazing to listen to on the radio. They were actually talking to some of the reporters who were there, like Brennan was there and Dean Brown was there, and they were talking to them on the radio today. And I think it was Don Brennan said, it's really difficult to find the right words to use to describe this young man who's got a terrible health issue, who is just so positive and so happy that the team would actually do this for him. It was quite cool, actually. So... The whole team showed up yesterday and had a chit-chat with them. And actually, Kyle Turris stayed behind afterwards just to have a little sort of one-on-one chat. And now he's at the game tonight with his mom and whoever else. And then the chemotherapy starts tomorrow. So it's 2 weeks of chemotherapy to kill his immune system. Well, suppress his immune system.
So kill. Win it for Jonathan, please.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be nice. So they're trying.
Well, do you want to go into chemotherapy, Grumpy? Come on.
I want to go into chemotherapy, period. I know people have been through it. It's not much fun. But that's just me. So it's 1-1 after
knowing
one.
Knowing that you have to go through a second round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? Well,
knowing what you're going to go through.
Knowing what you're going through. Well, there's knowing what you're going through. The other side of it is you know what's coming. It's not an unknown, which is a little less bad to me. At least when I've had to go through repeated medical procedures that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. At least the second time I knew what was coming, it wasn't, okay, what are you going to do to me next?
All right.
Yeah. So.
Actually, one thing.
They're not much fun. But.
And I know I was texting with you, Canuck, about this too, but reading the last Nicole Anderson blog, considering that she had the miscarriage.
Yeah.
And then they diagnosed her with cancer. I was going to say this without comment. If she didn't miscarry and still had the cancer, what do you do?
There are forms of chemotherapy for women who are pregnant.
Oh, is there?
I believe so.
Okay.
I'm not positive about that, but I believe so.
It's a real scary part.
Yeah. It may also be that you have to delay the cancer treatment until childbirth.
That's what I would assume.
And that's... Yeah.
That would be much more... Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how aggressive it was, to be honest. I honestly don't know.
I don't know either, but...
I mean, her
and
cancer.
And it gets worse, right? Over time and sometimes quickly.
Yep. Oh, very much so.
So,
players. Anybody you want to talk about in particular?
All of them!
Or do you want to just go into emails and we can talk about...
Do something!
What about that new kid they signed to an ATO?
Oh, well, let's talk about Colin White. Yeah, let's talk about Colin White.
Colin White.
Yes. Colin White. Signed to an ATO, played in Binghamton yesterday, got the primary assist on the one and only goal in a 6-1 loss to Syracuse.
They're bad, eh?
Well, they are bad. But Syracuse is also tied for top in the conference.
I was surprised they were able to pull it off that he just signed the ATO. It just seems to get stalled. Yeah. But
I'm impressed. Yeah. I'm happy.
It seems to be happening.
Well, it's good for the team. It gives them the weekend to watch him play. And if, you know, he dominates, which is probably unlikely, but if he does, then they can figure out whether they want to burn here or not.
Do you know if White was on for any goals against?
Yeah, he was a minus two.
Well, it's probably not hard.
That's six plus goals one against. Minus two. Yeah. Well, there's six
scores.
That's
not great. Yeah.
But they're going out to the Rock to play two against the Ice Caps.
Alcatraz?
Yeah.
Oh, St. John's.
to play two against the Ice Caps.
Newfoundland is an hour and a half from Iceland.
Yeah, it's not very far.
It's crazy. Eh?
Well, that shows you how big this country is, doesn't it?
Yeah, we got to go to Winnipeg and it's 3 hours.
It's about the same time as flying to Florida.
Well, I once an acquaintance from the UK who was describing the flight from the UK to, I guess it was Toronto, was being so long. And I went, you do realize it's longer to fly from St. John's, Newfoundland to Victoria, BC.
Absolutely.
Which is one side of my country to the other. Yeah. It's further.
We go through what? Four time changes?
Five and a half.
Five and a half coast to coast.
Crazy.
So he had moments of decent play. But I think at least the interviews after the game that I was hearing were, I might term them as cautious optimism. It's like, well, he was getting used to the game and it's going to take him some time, but he had some moments and he did some good stuff. And
he's dominated against the boys. Now he's playing against men. So let's see what happens.
And to give credit where credit's due, he did say, Colin White, when he was interviewed, was
White.
I'm playing against men now. They're bigger, and when you're in the corner, you know it.
Yeah, I bet.
There you go. Welcome. They were talking about it on the radio yesterday. I think it was. They have to sign him 24 hours
before
the last game of the season if they want him to play in the postseason.
24 hours before the last game of the season
of the regular season. That's right. So they have until Thursday morning ish.
No.
Yeah, because the last game is next Friday, is it not?
No, there's Saturday, so, and there's another game.
I don't mean Friday tomorrow. I mean the one after that.
There's a Sunday game against the Islanders or something like that.
Yeah, Saturday Rangers game.
Yeah.
A week from Saturday.
A week from, okay.
There's time. He's got about 3-4 games.
It's pretty much, I would say, what's going to happen this weekend in St. John's, whether they bring him up or not.
They also play...
Or injuries.
They play somewhere, and I don't know if it's in Binghamton on Tuesday. There's another game on Tuesday as well. So there's two in Newfoundland, Friday, Saturday, and there's another game on Tuesday. So they'll have a chance to look.
Game is Sunday the 9th.
I know it's ridiculous, and I think you probably want to get to this. I know it's ridiculous to think that this guy's going to save the team. It's just... stupid. It does, but I'll give you this. It's something new. It's optimism that comes with every new player, like when Lazar came on and all these other kids that come up.
It could be a little extra energy too.
But where are you going to put him?
Fourth line.
He's a center.
Fourth line.
So he's going to be center of the fourth line?
I don't know.
Kelly out.
Put him on the power play.
I know.
Yeah, I know. You
see, this is the problem, is where do you put him? Because he's not a fourth line type of player. If to have him have any impact, he can't be playing on the fourth line. So if you put him on the fourth line, there's no point in bringing him up because you'll get some stuff here and there. He's not going to get power play time.
He might.
Why not? It's not like we're lighting it up.
Might.
Because they'd have to rearrange the whole damn thing.
Look at what they're doing tonight.
Well, they're just taking Carlson off and putting CC on.
Pierre McGuire said he would help the power play now.
He might.
Well...
He was actually going and crashing the net. Nobody else does on this damn team.
Except Bobby Ryan.
Yeah, except Bobby Ryan. Ryan.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
It's been
Bobby Ryan and Burrows.
And
Stahlberg.
I was going to say, and Stahlberg.
Which is, they had to trade for this.
Oh.
And the $7 million guy to do it.
Well, as long as somebody's doing it. It's been paying dividends. We've been scoring a power play goal a game on pace for the last little while. So there's that. I don't see...
It's optimism and a real kind of, we're in a little funk right now.
It gives you an extra option. Someone gets hurt. Di Domenico is not good enough for the NHL.
No. But the one thing that bothers me about it is it does give him, it burns a year off his contract.
Off his entry level?
Yeah, not towards free agency. Yeah. No.
So it's about an $800,000 decision.
Depending on what he's expecting after his first contract, depending on now, there were two sides to this, which I was thinking of. Yes, it gets him a year closer to getting that contract, but How many players have a sophomore slump?
Yeah, this is what they're saying on the radio.
Oh, geez. Were they?
Yep.
I should listen to the radio more often. Or maybe the radio listens to my brain.
It's the game you play.
Okay. Oh, so you're talking about for next year?
Well, no, but after 2 years.
If you burn a year now.
So next year,
you got 2 years left. But a lot of times a player will have their sophomore slump on their second year. So you could be gambling that, at the end of his contract, he'll just have a slump year. Yeah,
perfect. Then you get him into a really crap bridge deal that he's got no leverage on.
While we're trying to sign players who are more expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
It's possible. There's no right or wrong. It's so hard to say. I say deal with the now. If it makes sense now, then deal with it. If it doesn't make sense now, then don't deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, the other worry I have is if he's signed now to play in the NHL now, mm-hmm. fan expectations will be, well, he can't go to bingo next year.
I don't care.
Go to bingo.
No, I don't care.
Can't go to bingo.
I don't care.
You don't.
Because
I don't. But there'll be a lot of people.
Carlson started in bingo.
I agree.
And Dorion. No, he didn't. Carlson.
Well, Carlson started up here and then was sent down.
And he was terrible. Went down, played 10 games, got 10 assists, came back.
Exactly.
This is different. And Dorion, when he's talking to the media, can just say, what happened with Curtis Lazar? We don't want to rush these guys.
I agree.
And then people will shut up about it.
Mind you, they're already talking Shabbat next year.
Yeah. I've had enough of that.
Who is?
The team, the radio. Okay, they're saying he's almost saying
he's a lock. I don't mind if you're in the NHL or if you make the starting day roster. If you struggle, you get sent down.
Right.
I agree.
Win your spots. Win it by merit.
Right.
That's what Dorion's been saying, what Boucher's been saying. Follow that mantra. And the team did screw up by bringing up Lazar. There was no reason for them to do it.
Earlier this season, I agree. And I believe we all said it at the time.
And even when they brought him up and he had still one game left before he was waiver eligible, should have sent him down. Yep. He was doing nothing.
Nope.
Unless they're just trying to make him happy and hoping that he could self-motivate, and it really didn't work.
I was going to say, here's your big salary, do something, and it didn't work. Because he wasn't, he's a two-way contract.
He's making like 70 grand a year.
Yeah, exactly. So bring him back up, so maybe his truck payments or something. Anyway, no, I'm...
But even then, he's not playing in that in Calgary either right
now.
Nope. So
we'll see what happens.
Email?
Yeah, I've got. Oh, actually, no. Before one more thing. I don't know if they were talking about this again. I think it was on the radio today because somebody made notice of something that wasn't said. All that they made comment of notice
by who?
The coach.
Okay.
He said something and then he didn't say anything more. Mm-hmm. And they went, "Whoop! What's that about?" Because somebody asked him today about Clark MacArthur, and he said, "Oh,
right.
Oh well, yeah, there's." Yeah,
maybe going for a second test.
No, that's not what he said. He said there is news on that, but I'm not going to talk about that. So maybe he already had it. We don't know.
I don't know why that got brought up.
I don't know why it got brought up.
I think unless Clark did it just to kind of pressure the team.
Hard to say. But I mean, if there's news, maybe we'll have.
I don't think you bring a guy back in now.
I don't think he should come back.
Well, it's up to him. He wants to.
Well, it's up to him, yeah.
It's up to him if he wants to come back, but I don't think you bring him on the team right now. I mean, that's...
Yeah, you can.
You can.
Look at these guys.
He's eligible for the postseason because he's on the team already.
Well, he's LTIR, yeah.
Yeah. So, hard to say. But that was just something that came up today. I went, really? All right.
It's funny how...
It's probably not...
Funny how I can consider... Oh, yeah, let's throw Colin White to the Wolves in the playoffs and see what happens. And then Clark McCarthy, like, no, we got to protect this kid.
Double standard, hello.
Yes.
It's just the way we think. There's nothing wrong with that. We have more email. Thank you, listeners. We have more email from people who...
Not like last episode, but...
No, it's not an entire episode of email, but that was fun.
First, you want me to read the first one here from Nick?
Yeah.
Nick? Yeah, got a quick one here from Nick. Emails in. Where I am. Decided it's time. I asked, I responded, and I live in Kamloops, BC. So thank you, Nick, from Kamloops.
Yes. I was actually going to say, we have this lovely wall behind you, Pan. Mm-hmm. I was going to get a map of the world, and I'm not going to put pins in your wall.
Yeah, we can put stickers.
We can use like stick on notes or something. I think it'd be fun. Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the season, we can take a picture of it and tweet it out saying, this is where everybody listens to us. Because I've been very impressed so far.
Yeah, it was incredible to listen to.
Next one. You want to read the next one too? That one was pretty short.
Yep.
Yeah, please.
From Chris.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you read that. Ew.
All right. Chris writes in, update on Sens prospects. And this is Chris from Sweden, right?
This is Chris from, yep. I think so, yeah.
Yes. Hi, I'm doing my best to give you guys some info about our prospects in Europe, Sweden. And thanks for the kind words about the attack. It was absolutely terrible, that attack in Sweden, yeah.
Solid.
That was terrible. We got your back.
We're standing there. We're with you.
United. So to start with, they traded Dahlin. He had produced pretty well in the second league, so we wouldn't get mad about the trade until later or when he produces in AHL. Absolutely. And Wikstrand has played a whole season in Farstad. I'm going to say these names wrong. They just won over my team in the playoffs. My team is Djurgården, the same team that Claesson, Zibanejad, and Englund came from. So hopefully we'll provide some more good players for Ottawa. Now about Högberg, he had a great season at Linköping this year. And what I heard, I think Ottawa will sign him. Jaros has played 36 games and has been noted for 13 points in Luleå, if I said that right. And they also went out of the playoffs really fast. Well, that's what I have for you now. Well, thank you for the
excellent
prospect report. Indeed, it's awesome.
Yes.
Do you guys honestly think Wikstrand's going to come back to this organization?
I don't know.
Didn't really end well, did it?
It's a different GM, but I don't know.
Depends. I think he's got a chance now that it's a different GM to repair it.
He get the Hawks last year. He should have been in Binghamton this year then.
He should have, but if he was given permission to play over there, maybe, I mean, considering, no offense, Binghamton, but considering how bad Binghamton was, there are lots of jobs available.
Yeah.
Next year, especially with the team moving to Belleville.
And you don't have to go to Binghamton. You can go to Belleville. Yeah. You're close to Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto.
You're in Canada. You're mm-hmm. not in, no offense, Binghamton, but I mean, it is a different world. Now, how big is Binghamton? It's about the same size as Belleville, isn't it? About 100,000?
It's probably about the same.
Just a different
city. You don't have the border issues. You don't have the visa issues that you may have had.
That's all taken care of for you.
All right. Living in Belleville, you're 90 minutes from Toronto. Ish. Belleville, parts of Toronto.
Belleville is a nice community.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're between, I mean, the players who I expect to see in Belleville next year on the blue line, I can only think of two. Which
Englund.
Englund and Ben Harper.
Yeah.
Shabbat, maybe. Wikstrand, maybe.
That'd be pretty good.
That would be an awfully good, a nice top four right there. I wouldn't mind it.
I don't even know who else we have.
I can't. Well, I don't really think
it matters.
I'm trying to remember who the other blue liners down there are.
We've got a couple good CHL kids coming up too, right?
Yeah, there are prospects coming up too.
Belleville will get a little bit shot of talent.
Yeah. You want to read?
Yeah, Aaron.
Zach.
Zach.
Oh, sorry, Aaron.
Aaron. Okay.
Yeah.
From Aaron. Hey, you guys. Forgot to give a hello there before the last show. Second time writer, listener from a small town of Forza in mid-north east coastal Sweden. Love the show. Take care.
Another.
Actually, one thing is that these guys are really looking forward to the game next year.
Yes. Well, he wrote later on about that.
Oh, did he?
Yes. Okay. Do you want to read the one from Zach as well?
Sure. Hey, guys. Been listening to you guys for a while now, and I've been loving the podcast. I listen to you guys all the time whenever I'm working in the shop. At least whenever there's a new episode out. Did we score there? No.
Yeah. I don't remember writing that.
Not so many episodes. Not so many. Cough, cough. But that's all right. Your content makes up for it. So I have one thing for you guys to discuss about and then grinds my gears. My thing for you guys to discuss about is how Jeremy Roenick and Daniel Alfredsson are fairly similar to each other. They have fairly similar points. Both haven't won a Stanley Cup. There's talk that JR should be getting into the Hall of Fame. Do you guys think Alfie should also be put into the Hall of Fame? Also, what grinds my gears is letting off the clutch a little early when shifting.
That does Thanks, grind guys. Your gears.
Très fort. Well done, sir. Thanks, Zach. First question. JR and Dana Alfredsson. Fairly similar. Well, in total points production.
They should both be in the
I agree. Fame. And that's not because I'm an Ottawa Senators fanatic and not because I have two Daniel Alfredsson sweaters and a bunch of other Daniel Alfredsson paraphernalia. He's been hasn't won a Stanley Cup, true. But if
this, there's a lot of them that haven't.
The Hockey Hall of Fame is not the Hockey Hall of Stanley Cup winners.
Correct.
It's the Hockey Hall of Fame. He's had success at an international level. He was a captain of an NHL team for 15 years. He's scored over 400 goals. He's 1,200 and some odd points, I think it is.
I still remember. That's
1,108.
1,108?
Three okay. away from 1,111.
Like NHL 92 or 3 when you have Jeremy Roenick on the Chicago Blackhawks. He was like the most dominant player at all.
Jeremy Roenick was one of the, if not the highest scoring Americans. Modano's probably better.
Modano, I think, passed him.
Yeah. But still.
No, I agree. I think they both should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's just that the Hockey Hall of Fame likes to take its time with things. Except
well, Alfredson will be eligible next year, I think.
Matt Sundin was put in the year after he retired.
The year
after
not,
he retired.
Not right away.
They waived it. They put him in right
really?
Away.
Pfft, whatever.
Because it's Matt Sundin. They waived the need to be sensible about things. Meanwhile, they couldn't do it for Pat Burns. That's what grinds my gears right there. Anyway. And sort of
wake up NHL,
NHL typical. Mm. We need that Laviolette clip back.
Yeah.
Montreal typical. That was the best ever. Who's next?
Aaron,
do you want me to read one?
I'll get this one. You get the next one. Aaron writes in, "Hey, you guys, forgot to give you a hello before the last show. Second time writer listening from
that's the one that he just read.
Thanks for listening.
And I'll go back. So you read the next one.
I'll read the next one. Okay.
From Dave.
Nope, from Aaron.
That's what I was reading.
No, you were reading the first one.
All right, fine.
Sent I got it. I got it.
Oh, I clicked on the wrong one.
Yes. Sent in Sweden. The subject line is sent in Sweden.
You
oh, boy.
Work in technology.
This is from Aaron. Good evening. A couple of episodes ago, I wrote to you about the hardship in following the Sens from Sweden due to the time difference and then expressed my excitement for two upcoming early games that coming weekend. Well, that was a weekend of disappointment as the Sens lost both of them and didn't play very well.
Uh-huh.
However, that's life. And since then, there have been more happy endings, pun intended, than the opposite. Well played. Well played, sir. It's overall quite
yes,
a good season.
Your life is going great, isn't it, Aaron?
I'd say it probably is. That's just jealousy, though. Even more so for a Swede because of the recent news, the Sens will be playing Colorado in a back-to-back games in Stockholm, Sweden, November 10th and 11th. It's a bummer that I moved from Stockholm just 4 months ago and now have to make a 300-kilometer drive to the game, but that's another story. Naturally, I'm going to both games and will do my best to deliver a game recap for you guys when the time has come. Now, I've attached a drawing of the arena called the Globe, where the games will be played. You can see both the exterior as well as the seat map. I've set the pricing for the seats, regular tickets, no VIP packages or so. The pricing is set in US dollars instead of Swedish crowns. You're welcome.
Oh my gosh, I just looked at the picture.
You'll see the color marking before the pricing to catch what seats it concerns on the seat map. Would you care to compare this pricing to the home game pricing at the Canadian Tire? I haven't opened it. What is it
two
like?
Two times?
Well, the biggest, first of all, the arena is a globe.
Yes.
It's a big ball bubble.
Well, isn't that where they played a few years ago?
I don't know.
In Sweden? You've never played in Sweden? Oh.
Yeah.
Phew, that was like 10.
No, that wasn't that was the city. It was in Gothenburg or whatever.
Was it Gothenburg or Djurgården?
That was in 2009.
Anyway.
Okay, so it's not
the cheapest. The nosebleeds are $78 US.
Oi.
And the primos 78 down to one next 123, then 213, then 247 US dollars.
So take Canadian Tire Center pricing and double it. Actually, more than double it. Nosebleeds at 78.
Pretty much double it.
And then convert it to US dollars.
And then convert to US dollars.
Ouchers.
Easily double.
Money grub.
Of course.
Ouchers.
That's because Erik Karlsson is a draw.
But well, so is Freddie Claesson.
Oh, Minnesota scored.
Maybe we'll have England.
When that happened?
We were reading email at the time. A couple minutes ago.
See? They cannot cut their foot down on a team that's been losing 10 straight.
Rookie.
We have no players.
Make it work. The system.
I'll finish the email. Other thoughts? Claesson is quite all right.
Yep.
Jean-Gabriel Pageau is quite short. And Condon always looks a bit confused in non-game photos. Like he's thinking, where am I again? Never mind. Just keep sliming. Keeps smiling, Mike. Oh, yeah. And Linköping, pronounced kind of like Linköping, has been knocked out of the quarterfinals of the Swedish Hockey League playoff, which means that Ottawa prospect Marcus Hogberg has ended his season. Let's get him over to Binghamton and see what he can do. He has a 932 save percentage during 33 regular season games. That's all for now. Love the show. Keep it up. Go Senators. Get back on the push. Until next time, best regards, Aaron. I hope I pronounced Linköping correctly. The only place I know how to pronounce in Sweden, because I had a coworker who was Swedish.
IKEA.
Linköping.
No, Arjeplog. And I, you see, a Canadian would look at it and go, Arjeplog. But it's Arjeplog. It's a very small town in Sweden where pretty much every major car manufacturer in the world goes to do their winter testing.
What would be the local reference song for that? No, that's not right, right?
Nice. Was there news about Marcus Hogberg today?
It looks like his ELC is imminent.
Excellent. Which means there's going to be a goalie logjam for next year, depending on what they do with Drieger, O'Connor, and Hammond, and for that matter, Condon. We got a lot of goalies to try and figure out what to do.
Condon's going to be up here if he's still with the org.
Yeah. Well, does he sign with us, or does he go, well, I'll see what's on the open market? It's hard to say.
That's a whole risk about the expansion draft year. If it was an expansion draft, we would have signed him.
Well, I mean, he may go to free agency anyway, just to see where things shake out, because there's always going to be...
Or if the money's good and you like where you are.
Oh, yeah.
And Craig Anderson's 37, so you do have a shot of being a starter.
At least for a little while, until everything else shake out.
I still don't think he is a starter, but that's fine.
Well, hard to say.
Yeah, the other guys are going to flip around a bit. They had Hammond's surgery in time so that they could buy him out.
Yes, he's supposed to be off. He's supposed to be recovered enough that he reaches the early July buyout period, is it not? Before
June?
Well, it was March.
It's before free agency.
Oh, I thought it was the one that was in the middle of the summer. I thought it was the second buyout period that he was going to be.
I think you can only do that if you have an arbitration. They're weird rules.
Oh.
But I think you have to get bought out before free agency so that these guys can get another job.
Well, that would make sense.
It also seems that the family has moved out of Ottawa.
Oh, well.
Why is Brassard giving Dzingel a stick? The single just got owned. Anyway, moving on.
Is this a penalty kill? It's not even a penalty kill.
Nope.
This team. I think this game's a little bit rough here, boys.
Mm.
Next email from Dave. Checking in. Hey, guys. I'm listening from New York City. His rent's got to be ridiculous. I discovered this podcast around the Hamburglar run and have been a religious listener since. In addition, enjoy my donation that is to be used for adult beverages only. Keep up the above average work. Now, I didn't get a confirmation email about it.
No, Dave, we didn't get that.
Did you hit send, Dave? Dave, send.
Just in case.
Be you a donor.
Wow.
Or you better do it two other times just to make sure at least one of them gets through.
You guys are tough.
It'll be here in the New York minute.
You guys are tough. Man. Thank you for all the email. It's
yes, thank you.
Always good. And I'm looking forward to putting that map together so we can see where everybody is. It's weird that we're getting an awful lot of people from a lot further away than I was expecting.
Yeah.
A lot further away. That's cool.
Australia is a cool one.
There's more than one in Australia.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Yeah, one makes sense. You got two.
And I think Sweden, well,
Sweden makes sense.
Number of.
Well, Estonia, I didn't know knew anything about hockey.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. This is
and Poland.
It's mind boggling, eh?
Mind boggling indeed.
Russia. We know you're listening to all our broadcasts. Email the show.
This is Vladimir P. from Moscow.
But they're not controlling us. They may be listening, but they're not controlling us.
Moscow or St. Petersburg?
The capital is Moscow.
It is, eh?
Yes. Okay. Not Leningrad. I was going to say, I don't have a whole lot to say, other than one quick little bit. Edmonton clinched a playoff spot, last night.
Did Calgary get it?
For the first time in a decade.
Yep.
Who scored the clinching goal?
Eric Greiba.
A player who started the season on a PTO and then signed a two-way contract. Eric Greiba. Good on you. Good on
you. Well, a blind squirrel gets his nut sometimes.
And they get to play Anaheim? If it ended right now, isn't it?
I haven't actually looked at the standings.
So the guy who makes duck calls is going to play the Anaheim Ducks.
Well, he slays ducks. He's a duck hunter.
He shoots them right down.
One other quick thing. I don't know if you heard this one today. The expansion draft. The lists are going to be made public.
Yeah, I heard that. I think that was a mistake.
Why?
I don't know. It might hurt someone's feelings.
They'll know ahead of time. They'll know. They'll know.
You should put two and two together the majority of the time.
It's going to make a lot of interesting trades and stuff. What is the order of events? So after the Stanley Cup's awarded, expansion draft first?
Expansion
draft. Then?
Yeah. Expansion draft is first.
Then and then the regular draft.
Then free agency.
Then free agency, yeah.
It's going to be an interesting ride there.
It's going to be the end of June, mid to late June. It's going to be interesting.
For like 2 minutes.
So when
I had way too many of these.
Uh-oh. Okay, he'll be back. So we'll just keep talking about this.
Yeah. We don't stop for nothing.
Either that or it'll be over by the time you get back.
Don't forget to wash your hands.
And flush. The way that's going to work is the lists are going to be given out, I think it's 4 days before the draft actually takes place.
4 days.
And Vegas has the 3 days to make all their picks and submit them. And then their picks will be revealed on some sort of television reality extravaganza.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. As
only the NHL can do badly at.
Oh.
It's going to be cringeworthy. Oh. It's going to be worse than the gold envelope of who gets the top pick in the draft every
year. Do you remember the Team Canada announcements they did on TV?
The one that took 57 minutes?
Before they actually announced the team?
And then they started announcing the player by player, the team they played for, their junior team, and their hometown. I was like, get it over with. It was worse than the LeBreton announcement last year. I was driving up to go fishing. And I was running out of signal because I was getting near Renfrew. I'm like, just say it before I run out of signal on the radio. Oh, it's Ottawa. The Ottawa Senators bid is won the competition.
Right.
So,
what I'm interested in knowing, not only is that going to be a production nightmare, and it's going to be terrible,
horrible,
but you got to watch it.
You have to. It's interesting. It's just going to be so badly done.
Save time by not wiping.
Oh.
So that's
you use
what that
both sides,
is.
Right? I told you use both sides. Here's what I want to know: Do they submit their picks all at once, or do they have an order to the pick? So they go through the teams and they say, "Pick this one," and then the teams behind them can then maybe adjust.
No.
The teams it's all announced at one shot.
Yeah, the teams have to submit all their lists 4 days ahead of time, and the NHL will give them to Vegas, and Vegas will make their picks
in the public
and the picks will be announced on that one day, and nobody can rearrange who's protected after one is done.
Can you imagine if they could? What a gong show!
Well,
that would be.
The difference, though, is that Vegas gets their RFA UFA window first.
Yes. Well.
Yeah, and so if they sign an RFA from a team, I don't know who we have anymore.
So like everything else, Vegas gets the best
somehow
odds.
They sign Ryan Dzingel to a contract. So Dzingel goes from Ottawa to Vegas. Ottawa does not get a player selected in the expansion draft, and I don't think there's any reimbursement for the RFA.
Oh, I think
there's a limitation or reduction.
I'm not sure how it's all going to be confusing, and it's all going to be.
I don't think they're going to action any of the RFAs anyway.
House has the edge,
but Vegas. I was trying to remember this, and I can't remember, and I haven't had time to look. Where is Vegas picking in the regular draft?
They're in the lottery, and they will pick in the top three.
Oh, I didn't think.
Which
they were
is
that
the
high.
Stupidest friggin' thing. They should have just given them first overall.
Oh, but then all the teams have been tanking all year would say.
No teams have been tanking. They're just bad.
It's a fine line. No, it's true. Nobody's tanking.
No one's tanking. They were just bad.
True. True. Right.
Well, I don't know. I think Tim Murray down there is probably doing what he can.
Tim Murray's nowhere near close.
No, he's not close to the bottom.
It's Arizona?
Colorado.
Jeez.
Colorado is minus 1,000 in goal differential.
Dallas is down there too. Arizona's down there. Buffalo's not that close. What grinds your gears?
Me? Soundbite.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Yeah. What grinds your gears this week? Other than letting the clutch out before you've got the gear shift fully in gear.
The play of the Senators lately?
Okay.
The team psyche? I got nothing.
You got nothing? Pan, you got anything?
Everything about international travel.
Well, at least you could take your tablet and everything? Your laptop with you.
It actually wasn't that bad at all. What really grinds my gears, though? Text marketing.
Oh, yeah. You spam texting, you mean?
Yep. The problem is some of it is spam, and some of it is phishing, and some of it is actual marketing.
Yeah, I hate it all. I don't.
Legitimate, because Rogers texts me all the time.
Yep.
Oh, lovely.
It's like, you guys are legitimate company.
This is a security scam.
99% of texts that are received like this are phishing texts.
Exactly. And no way I'm clicking on
those links. Don't market it.
Don't market yourself the same way they are.
Yeah, exactly. Because then you can also say, you know what? We don't do it, because in my industry as well, because people are like, well, I got this text or I got this email.
We don't text you.
We don't do that.
Oh, I know. I've had them from every bank but the one I use in the last month.
I don't know anything about banks.
No, but I mean, I've had them from every bank that I use, among other phishing scams. And it's always interesting to read the URL, because it'll be...
You know, some of them are very good.
Well-known Canadian bank dot secure one, as in secure digit one, .com. It's like, ooh, I could see why somebody would fall for that. Some of them are quite
clever. Some of them are very, very good.
Yeah. And they're all annoying.
Yeah.
Yep. What grinds my gears this week is I was in Canadian Tire the other day, and I was walking through. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Well done. I was in Canadian Tire the other day, and I happened to walk past the... Stop it! And I happened to walk past the...
The air wrenches.
The air wrenches, yeah. I happened to walk past the spray paint aisle. And there were... I think I counted... I can't... sorry, I got to stop for a second.
You don't have to look.
Oh. Ben was just putting his contact lens back.
Took it out, licked it to re-lubricate it, and put it back in.
Really grosses me out.
I only gave myself pink eye once doing that.
Really grosses me out. Walked past the spray paint aisle, and there must have been 25 or 30 spots of spray paint on the floor. Which means people were testing it to see what color it was.
Well,
why? If the lid is blue, here's a tip. The paint's blue.
But what shade of blue?
The same shade as the lid, because they paint the lids.
But that's plastic blue. It's not paint blue.
True.
No. Well, some of the cans are actually painted on plastic.
So I'm just
going to
go and ruin this floor.
Yeah.
And angry.
And I went, really? It ground my gears to the point where I simply shook my head in disbelief.
It's cement floor too, right?
Cement floor. So you're
ruined for life.
Well, no, you can scrub it off if you scrub hard enough, but you got to use probably TSP, which is not the most wonderful stuff to work with.
A little acetone and some elbow grease can't bring out.
Is he even fighting anymore?
GSP? Yeah, he's back.
Oh, okay.
No, I said TSP.
Oh.
Which is actually used for scrubbing your walls. Again. But that's... That was just something that made me shake my head. It ground my gears, but it also just shook my head. Right, week to come. You have your phone?
Hey. Saturday.
Winnipeg.
And you're
SCU
going.
Winnipeg. SCU Peg, I guess.
SCU Peg?
SCU Peg.
SCU Peg?
SCU Peg.
The Peg. SCU Peg.
And then after that...
Sounds like something you'd hear in Sweden. SCU Peg.
Okay, so this... It really should be clear ceilings for the rest of the year. Then Monday... Oh, it's Monday, Tuesday. I thought it was Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday. Home and home against Detroit.
Oh, it's Monday, Tuesday?
Yep.
Oh,
Detroit's missing out on the playoffs for the first time in a quarter century.
So Saturday is Winnipeg. Then back to back.
In Detroit.
In Detroit, and then here against Detroit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who knows when we'll be back?
Oh, I have no idea. It's getting into Easter. It's kind of my busy season.
So it is, isn't it? All right. So Thursday against Boston, and then Saturday,
final home game.
Final home game against the Rangers. One of the two afternoon games.
Is that 12, the last game of the year? No.
Last game here.
Okay.
Which is a 12:30 start.
Saturday?
Yep.
12:30.
Yep. Yeesh. It's fine. It's a one and only. And then the next day, Sunday, November, mm-hmm. April 9th, against the Islanders. So not too far away.
Oh. Well, it's a week this 5 Sunday.
5 p.m. game.
Okay.
It said that apparently we could clinch on Saturday. I don't know if that happened.
I don't know if that's the case now.
Well, they were doing some really complicated math on the radio this afternoon about number of points for everybody and getting this, that, and the other thing and who's playing what and doing what to whom. So it got kind of complicated. We'll see how it goes.
This is why I like parity, because it's still interesting for a whole bunch of teams.
Exactly.
Except Colorado.
Dallas. Actually, the West is mostly summed up, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
The Metro has been done for weeks.
Yeah. We don't know when we're going to be back, as usual. Easter's coming up, which may be a bit of a ratchet in the gears.
It's actually quite a ways away.
Not for me, it's
Easter's
not.
Easter's late.
Well, relatively speaking, it's two weeks away.
Yeah, about that.
When is it?
The 14th is Good Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so it's not next week, but the week after
you're
that.
You're busy that full week, right? And we just screwed up. 3-1.
I tend to be, yeah. But my schedule is just messy for the next couple of weeks. Very. We'll do what we can with what we have. But,
all right.
So we don't know when we'll be back, as usual. So
hopefully it's...
Next time...
We'll negotiate.
Yeah, next time you hear us is next time you hear us. But...
we might be out of the playoffs by then.
As always, we do like hearing from listeners via email. Because it's definitely... like
donators.
Nice. It's definitely the best way to... get topics into us, but also if you haven't emailed us already, email us and tell us where you are. I'm always we're always listening for more folks, especially from whether you're local. I mean, if you happen to be in Ottawa or Ontario or just somewhere else in Canada, that's fine too, but the further you are, the more emphasis there is on you
telling. Juneau, Alaska,
the more emphasis
email.
Yeah, exactly. Or Hawaii, or you know, somewhere in Florida. Just want to hear from you. Just even if it's just to check in, say hi, I'm listening from blah blah blah. Or if you don't feel like writing us an email, you can always
just
call
send us. Money.
Send us money. Because Canuck and Van are going to need beer, I think. You can always just call the waiver wire at 1-844-SCU-6565 and leave us a voicemail telling us where you are. In the meantime, on behalf of Pan and Canuck, I'm Cardinal. Thank you very much for listening. As always, good night.
Later.
See ya.
Again, I will not give in. I've got a reason to fight. Every day we choose, we might win or lose. This is the dangerous life. Hey, 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 every day when I wake, they say that I'm gone, they say that they've won. Hey, 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 when I need to be saved, they count me out, but this is my round. Shot like a rocket up into the sky. Nothing can stop me tonight.